rulership. God, you have given them sovereignty through your excellent and unspeakable might, that we, knowing the glory and honor which you've given them, may submit ourselves to them. Wow. These are the Romans who are persecuting Christians, in nothing resisting thy will. Grant to them, therefore, O Lord, health, peace, concord, which is unity and government working well together, stability, that they may administer the government which thou hast given them without failure. Wow. So back then, Christians living in this overlap, living between two worlds, even though they were facing oppression, we're in a place where they're saying the best thing we can do is pray for and live for and work for harmony in our society. Now, when it comes right up to date, 2,000 years later, we live in a world that kind of, when it comes to those kind of authorities, we have a huge problem with them. Because so much that we see around us in authority, we kind of, I don't know, I guess we live very cynically about them, don't we? I mean, who hasn't heard a negative story about government? Who hasn't heard a negative story about MPs? Who doesn't feel that, well, they take our taxes off us? I don't know about you, when you get your pay slip, do you look at the top line and then the bottom line and think, oh man, if I could have just brought that top line home, the tax man. And we kind of almost taught that authority is a negative thing in our society. And I guess to some extent, the times have changed. When I was a little boy, the village bobby was somebody to be feared. Now, we've lost faith in the police. Plebgate rules. Now we struggle to hold faith in our politicians. So what does the Bible say to that? Well, it's the same as Paul was saying to the Roman church. God has actually given you these authorities. You have to trust. You've just sung that he alone, he's on his throne, and we worship him. But he alone on that throne rules. That means he still rules this world. He still has authority over this world. And what he allows on this world is governments to have authority over us. There's Paul writing to this church and churches in the New Testament that are living under great oppression and saying, honor those authorities, they're God-given. And we're going, yeah, like. It doesn't feel like it. I mean, can Cameron truly be anointed by God to be prime minister? Thought we voted him in, didn't we? And will we vote him out next year? I don't know. We'll see who wins. But Paul's very clear. The Bible's very clear. So there's a few points coming out of this chapter. First of all, Paul calls for us to keep our conscience clear. And he says that the first thing to understand is that God rules the rulers. Verse 1, it's very clear. It's God who rules, who gives rulers the right to rule. God rules the rulers, okay? And that's the first place we have to come and trust that whatever kind of society we live in, we trust that God rules. We pray it, don't we, when we sometimes pray the Lord's Prayer pattern. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy or your kingdom come. Your will be done. God rules, okay. But then Paul goes on to say, liberty is within the law. You don't have to fear that rule if you're living in harmony with it. It's a bit like if you are going down the motorway at 65 miles an hour, you do not have to worry about a policeman or a traffic highways agency stopping you for speeding for going over 70. Because you're living within the law, you're at peace. Put your foot down and go up to 75 and 80, you better be watching your mirrors. Okay? Because you're not at peace within the law anymore. And Paul says that if we submit ourselves to the authorities that are over us, if we submit ourselves to the rule of law and we are living within it, then we enjoy that peace. And God actually wants us to live in that kind of peace. That's why he called Paul called Timothy in Ephesus, pray. I want all men everywhere to lift up holy hands, pray for kings, pray for rule, because God wants you to live in peace. Liberties within the law. And then he makes a surprising claim, because basically Paul says, and their taxes are not taxing. And this morning we heard about Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, getting saved. Tonight I'm telling you to get saving for the tax collector, right? Whatever you do, Paul writes, and God's word says it, come under the rule of law. That also means whatever they tax you, you pay the taxes. You don't look for loopholes. You don't look for ways of hiding it away and not paying the taxes. You live with honesty and integrity. And the law calls you to pay the taxes. The law calls you to give revenue. Then you do. You don't chip on it. The harmony of our society is wonderful. It's paid by our taxes time and time again. I had a conversation with one of our older friends who comes to lunch break. I visited him this week, and I was just a little bit worried about him. And he's of an American heritage, but he's lived in the UK for 30 years. And I rang his daughter and just had a little chat and said, you know, just want to know, is Dad okay? And she was so pleased that I'd bothered to ring. And then we got chatting, and then she's American as well. I said, oh, where are you from? New York, here, there, and everywhere. And what was best thing of all, she'd worked for Liverpool Football Club for 14 years. But that was another conversation. Anyway. And then she said this. She said, you know, to have my parents go through their old age in this country, where they can walk into the doctor's surgery and the chemist's and into hospital and experience the blessing of your National Health Service delivered free at point of contact, she said, it is absolutely amazing. Our commitment to our revenues brings us great blessing. And that just a little aside, you've got to know what a great blessing the National Health Service is. It is one of the most beautiful, just things this whole world knows. Please, we live in an awesome country. She said, in America, my parents probably would not have gone to their doctor for fear of how much it would cost them. You're like, oh. And I thought the Americans were civilized. Praise the Lord for the NHS. But that's what Paul's saying here in his passage. And he kind of closes that bit off by saying, revenue, respect, and honor. Give them where they're due. Christians, he says, doesn't matter what the government is, even in oppression, the call on your lives is to be model citizens. Honest, upright, integrity-filled citizens. But then he moves on and says some things that apply to us directly. The first thing he says in verse 8 is, don't do debt. Don't do debt. He says, I call you not to live in debt. Why does he pick that one out? I think because Paul has some understanding of what it means when you're living in debt, that the kind of pressure it puts on your whole life. The intensity of living under debt. Now, I know some people have kind of managed to live in a way that they don't care about debt. But one day that will catch up with them. I know many people living under debt are absolutely crushed and broken by it. I'm reading a book called Nevertheless at the moment. It's by John Kirby. Does anybody know who John Kirby is? He's the guy who started Christians Against Poverty. And do you know why? Because he was going bankrupt and he was having to rent his home out to somebody just to try and scrape some money back. And it turned out he ended up renting it out to a Norwegian pastor. And this Norwegian pastor at one point said, well, I'm going to rent my home from you, but will you come to my church? And John Kirby went to this man's church and gave his life to Christ. And out of that began Christians Against Poverty, that is now, within 20 years, has become an international movement that is helping Christians and helping Christians help other people get out of debt. And time again, it gives them the opportunity not just to help people out of debt, but actually lead them to Christ. Because in their brokenness, they realize that they can't do life without Christ. And that's exactly where John Kirby was at. Actually, there's a whole team, a gang of us going up to visit the headquarters in Bradford in July, just to see what's going on there and kind of learn from them. But Paul says, don't do debt. Now, I know I don't have to be a prophet to know that some of us here will actually be struggling with debt. Some of us will be thinking, how on earth, when I come out of university, will I live with the fact that I've just put myself into tens of thousands of pounds worth of debt just to get a degree? When all I can do is get a job at McDonald's. All I can do is serve as a barrister. And that means coffee at Costa, not in the Law Society. How on earth do I live with that hanging over my head all my life? Some of us have got to a place where our credit card bills are just crushing. Or maybe the temptations every month to be ringing or emailing Wonga and just notching up a bit more with them. How do we live without that? Well, first of all, please, if you're in a place where you know debt is crushing you, whatever you do, find a way to get help. Go to Christians Against Poverty or go to CR on Monday night and get help. But first of all, just start beginning paying back. Christians Against Poverty might only tell you to pay back £5 or £10 a month. Just start paying back now. But we also live in a culture that has taught us don't ever wait for anything. Just get it. Get it on the never-never. Get it on the credit card. Get a loan out. Whatever you do, just whatever you want, have it now. And a lot of the adverts now on TV, they are about holidays, but about how you afford a holiday. How do you afford a holiday? Well, you go to the bank and you get a loan. Planning your holidays? Come to us. We'll help you plan your holidays. We'll help you plan your holidays by getting you in debt. So another step would be simply save to pay. Make a resolve in your heart from now on in that you don't buy anything unless you've saved up for it first. If it takes you longer to have a holiday, if it takes you longer to buy that new TV set, so what? Doesn't matter. That wait will do you good. Plus, it'll be a lot more better. Oh, terrible English. Sorry, you know. TVs are out of date the minute you buy them, like computers, you know. So if you wait a bit longer, you'll get a better one anyway. But that's not the point. The point is this. Learn to save to pay. And then the last thing to think about that is just simply rainy day funds work. If you can start a rainy day fund, even if it's only £10 a month, if you start a rainy day fund so that when something goes wrong or you need it, you've got a little bank account or a little savings account that actually works for you. But the thing Paul's saying here is whatever you do, don't do debt. It crushes your spirit. Don't do debt. But what he does say is this, do love. And then he speaks about the Ten Commandments. And he speaks about the practical side or the social side of the Ten Commandments. Now that marries into living in a society that we've prayed for and we're working for to be model citizens that is living at peace. Paul's basically saying one of the best ways of living at peace in that society is actually living good relationships with each other, which means you don't steal from each other, you don't commit adultery with each other, you honor each other. In relationship, you value each other so highly that you don't do those kind of things. So you live in harmony by living in harmony with the law and with the government of the land. You live in harmony by valuing each other so highly that you don't steal from them, and you don't lie or cheat against them, you don't commit adultery with them. Both those things bring this peace and harmony that God has called for. Why? Because God didn't make this world to be falling out with each other. God made this world so we could experience who He is as a God of love. And the outworking of that love is a society that's at peace with itself. Whether it's at peace with itself on an individual level or a corporate or a government level. God is not a God who is falling out with Himself. God is totally at one with Himself. And He longs for us to be in a society that's like that. When He said, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, He wasn't spoiling our fun. He was actually saying, this is a reflection of Me. It's a reflection of who I am as a God of love. Because if you love, you won't steal. If you love, you won't lie. You won't cheat. If you love as a reflection of Me, and it won't be spoiling your fun, it'll be thinking, the best way to live is in faithfulness. The best way to live is in honesty. That's what Paul's calling for. In verse 10, he's saying, He calls us to a loving community. I love it the way He sums it up in Galatians 5, because this is such a powerful verse. Powerful verse where Paul is actually speaking about obedience to the law as opposed to grace. And he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself as love. And that's why when he writes these commands in Romans 13, he then says that loving God and loving your neighbor is the summary of the law. That's what the Jewish people believed. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. It summarizes the law. That's what Jesus said when He was asked, summarize the law. They knew that. They believed it. And Paul says, live it. Live it. But then he also says this. He says, live in the light of His coming. If you live in the light of His coming, he says, you won't do the deeds of darkness. That heavy list that Daniel read and just about got the pronunciations right. I mean, I'm not sure whether Daniel had this with this quick discussion. Is it carousing or carousing? What? Carousing. All right. Well, it's carousing. Carousing sounds like a holiday, doesn't it? I'm going, never mind. Okay. Carousing, debauchery. But see the contrast. Paul's saying if you're living in the light of His love, you're living in light, then you don't do dark. That's what he's saying here. He says, but above all, if you're doing those things, if you're living in light, then you're living for His coming. His rule. His rule, so that if you're living under His rule, you've no fear of His coming. So He calls us to live in the light. Peter writes, different to Paul, but Peter writes this. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether emperor as supreme authority or governors who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Peter wrote that. Peter, who one day would be crucified under the Roman rulership, wrote this. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Peter, Paul, they call us to be model citizens. Our prayer as a church is that we long to be a loving community of God's life-changing presence. I will never tire of encouraging you to do that. Because when we live in that kind of community, when that that ripples out beyond us to touch other people, then what an amazing impact it makes in our lives. What an amazing impact it can make in their lives. They're not going to hear about Jesus from us unless they experience Jesus in us. The two have to go hand in hand. They have to match. So we live in this overlap world where, yeah, we've got our feet on the ground, stuck in a world that's going horribly wrong. And God says, you can live different. You can live different. You don't have to run away from paying your taxes. Pay them. You don't have to run away from authority and fear it. Live under it. Live within it. And you'll live free. You don't have to fear relationships when you're living with truth and honesty and you're valuing people so highly that you won't go out and sin with them. It's a challenging passage. And Paul says, two worlds, feet on this world, but your heart and your head living in heaven and living for his coming. Let's pray. God, what a powerful challenge you bring to us. Some of us never thought we'd come to church tonight and find out that your Bible would tell us to pay our taxes. But we do thank you that your word is real and it is so practical and it is so challenging. And we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit. Fill us with such a heart of love that we will love the society, love the world that you've called us to, whether it's loving Preston and Preston City Council, loving those who govern and rule over us, whether it's loving a life that is at peace and in harmony, because that's living out through us the kingdom of God. Lord, teach us that the best we can ever be is a people who love and honour you and a people who love and honour others. Keep writing this in us, Lord, through all the battles of our hearts, the battles of our mind, that keep calling us to make a God of ourselves. Keep forming Christ in us. In a million different ways, form Christ in us. And make us ready for your coming, Lord Jesus. Amen.